three, there's one book, the first book is the Chazon Ish, Brisker of Anushal. And we've got those other guys, they're coming? It's something I'd like them to hear, but anyway. Yeah, okay, just let them know. Anyway, so, you can switch off. It's just amazing to see how one person, I mean, Ken Hora, he was Nifter recently, he's almost close to, he's in his 90s. He wrote that book. The three that he was closest to was the Chazon Ish, Rav Shach, and the Brisker Rov. Three Gedolei Hador. Chazon Ish, then Brisker Rov, then Rav Shach. But he had like Chavrusas, Rav Yerucham, he led by Rav Yerucham. Like Rav Old, right? So then Rav Baruch Beyer was close to. The Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Rav Simcha Wasserman, he was Chavrusa with for 7 years. So that's this other book. With all the other gedolim that he had, he was very close to the Satmar Rebbe. You see him right about the Satmar Rebbe. Amish, Malachim. He wasn't ever close to Rebbe Yoshev. Rebbe Yoshev was. What's that? No, Rebbe Yoshev was 50 years ago. Rebbe Yoshev was on the. Rebbe Zolti was the Abbeitin of the Jerusalem basis, not the Balat. That's why there's often differences between Rav Yoshev and the Badat. They're not like Meshubut to him, he wasn't their Abbeitin, but they're they hold very carefully of him. Although the times when they'll say something different. But Rav Yoshev, when 50 years ago, was already, he was there, someone told someone who heard from Zolti's family that whenever two people would come for Din Torah, so Rav Yoshev would lean over to Rav Zolti and say, "That one's lying." And he was always right.
Wow.
This is the, you know, so they said he had the uncanny Siyata Deshmaya of Elohim. What else did it say? The Potter? Shechin is Hashem's with the Dayonim, you know. Anyway, it's not a good place to tell a lie in court, in a way it
probably.
So, well, Reb Chaim, I mean, back then he was very young. I mean, you must remember the Stadler went into the Reb Chaim's Yeshiva Ketana, or Cheder Rebbe, and told the Rav, "Listen, you can teach the other boys Tosis, don't teach Reb Chaim Tosis, just Gemara Rashi. He can't manage with that. Too much." Man. That was Reb Chaim when he. So I saw here, this was so good shmack to see. I just now I ran upstairs because I figured I've got to prepare something. looking for something interesting. So this is on, you've got a piece here, Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman, he was very close to as well for a number of years. But he writes here, he's got a nisfach about the Simcha Wasserman. He learned for the last 7 years of his life, he was from Muslim. So he writes here about Rav Simcha, and he says, this is Shmat. Because you know, Rav Simcha was like such a. Anyone met him? You met? Yeah, I remember. He used to come around. He used to come around to Awesome Man. And like a nobody, you know. He was in there like this old man, you know, who has a hat and a jacket, you know, a beard. You know, that's how he came in, like, very sweet old man, you know. But you didn't think he could learn very much, you know. So anyway, Rav Lawrence was, they were chavrus for like 7 years. So he says that once there was a convention or whatever it was of people where some of them had rabbinical positions. So those rabbonim said things that weren't so, didn't stem so much with that term. Rav Simcha was there. He was one of the Rabbonim, but there was another Rabbonim. So at a certain point, someone suggested that we should hear what Rav Simcha has to say. You know, so Rav Simcha got up and he said, "If you gentlemen are called rabbis, please do me a favor and call me Mister." You heard that? Where is it coming? Rav Simcha's like, he's a happy guy coming along, you know, like just he used to come and like, you know, find the Talmud and like just, you know, he came to Melatef the Talmud. So you never thought he was like someone who's going to stand up and say this and, you know, a short, sharp comment like that. Anyway, another time he says there was a they sat together with Hasidim, and there was a conservative rabbi there. And so he says that the conservative rabbi turned to Rav Simcha and asked him, you know, what's a litvak doing among Hasidim? Silence is sometimes smarter. Yeah. So you know, so Simcha explained, he said, Bnei Yisrael are called Tzvoit Hashem. There's the army, Hashem's army. So he said this, you know, in an army you've got different machlakot, you've got the soldiers, the Chel Avir, Chel Hayam, right? The navy, the they all have different tafkirim, but they're all fighting the same battle. So that's why everyone, they all live v'sholem together. Right? So that's how it is in Hashem's army, even though there's different drachim, all coming to battle the milchama of Kvod Shamayim. But they have the same matara, they have the same goal, so they all live v'shalva together. So this conservative rav said, you know, what tafkir are the conservative fulfilling in Hashem's army? So Simcha said, they're the ones that fled from the battle. They're the ones that betrayed. That was his response. You see, you could see his personality was obviously such that conservative rav could like go up with him and ask him so nicely, you know, sweet man like him, you know. He's going to explain how the conservative have a place, you know. Anyway, it's beautiful. Not too much more to add. Okay. No, I'll leave it to the other guys. I told you the mice was Rebaroch Jaffin, no? We're both in America. Talmud didn't look so frum. He used to have big payers, and now he has shorter payers. So this is from Rav Shlomo Shvadron. Tells us Rav Shalom met this guy called Koppel in when Rav Shalom was in Baltimore. And Koppel was one of the Rebbe's best Talmidim. This Koppel, even though he was Yoreh Shemayim, a daktik in Halacha and all that, you know, but he was clean shaven. That was the point, right? When he got to America, so he shaved, and then he was dressing like Baltimore, right? He wasn't, the European dress was not there. The garb wasn't there anymore. So when Rebbe came and he went to greet Rav Ochber, so Rav Ochber said in a very, he was like upset, you know, he said, "Aleichem Shalom," you know. And he realized that Rav Ochber was disturbed that his Talmud, you know, used to be this nice from a boy, you know. And now look at Koppel, you know. So he went over to Rav Ochber afterwards, and he said, he opened his shirt, he said, "Rebbe, look, I'm wearing tzitzit. I keep Shabbos Kaloch, I'm davening 3 times a day, I have a few hours of learning every day." So Rav Ochber was, the oil came back to his face. And he said, "You're the same couple." Right? And he hugged him, he kissed him. So then couple invited Rav Ochber to come visit him in his home. So he agreed, he came to the house. When the couple came in, his wife was busy with preparations, whatever it was, busy in the home, and she was listening to the radio, local music. This must have been, I don't know, this was 19 something, right? I mean, Michael Jackson wasn't yet out, so, you know, couldn't be too serious music, you know. So he says, he realized, you know, that's not nice. To bring the Baruch Beis to home with a radio with some, you know, Mozart or whatever it might be, you know. So a couple turned off the radio. And so he says, couple says, the Baruch Beis turned to him and said, couple, could you just come with me to the Merpeset? Yeah. Come out to the veranda. So he takes him out and he says, where did you learn this Torah? To go without your wife's reshus and turn off the radio. I know you did it for my kovod, but is this called kovod? This that you've done to switch off the tape and when while she's listening, please go and ask her mechila. That was so. The thing about this is, it's the mind of the Rav Ochpe. Rav Ochpe was known as no pshoros. The kanos, he was Torah and kanos were, you know, but. If anyone thought that there was any part of Shulchan Aruch that he wasn't, this might have shown, you know, the whole Ben Adam Lechaveri was all there, you know, like you just can't do that. I got a tremendous kizik from there. My wife was wondering why I was so sweet like that.